that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green? Got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't repeat that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Rob, you're back with us. It's a whole new season. We're back in the studio. And we can relax because Britta Sambalonga is staying with us. Darren Randolph is staying with us.
Dale Fry is staying with us.
So, you know, there's no worries. And we've got a man who has Steel in his surname to actually add. You see what?
Yes.
Steel.
Like it. Yeah.
So it's all good. And wasn't it fantastic to actually go 3-2 up at Luton and then be a chance to actually go 4-2 up with, of course, Britta Sambalonga. And then drew 3-3. So, yeah.
No, but it was a really, really exciting game. And if you wanted any sort of anything to announce a new era, it was that game, wasn't it? It was quite clearly a different way of playing football. Everything that Jonathan Woodgate has said about the high pressing game, the intensity, and the fact that we were going to attack. You can't say we didn't attack in that game.
Attack.
Yes, we conceded 3 goals and might have conceded a 4th at the end if Randolph hadn't made the save, but you can't say it wasn't exciting. And if that's a glimpse of this season, then wherever we might finish up, it's going to be edge of the seats stuff, isn't it?
Exactly. Now, not one, not two, 3 co-hosts for the Flanders today. Exactly. It's just the squad is just rolling out.
It's full house.
Jenny Finch is currently perusing
capacity
the latest
crowd.
Exactly. They'll be selling tickets. Yes. The latest routine. I think.
Are there any Way fans?
We'll find out. I think Jenny particularly taken with the Angela Merkel cover, which in deference obviously to Dominic Cumming, I think will obviously show the sort of the importance.
Angela Merkel?
Is it?
It's not Angela.
It's Carol Melia from Look North.
It does look like Carol. I thought it was Angela Merkel, you know, looking quite a bit younger. Oh, well, what the heck? I thought you'd gone all political on the whole thing. It's going to be a great season. Anyway, Jenny's perusing the thing from that. So ace writer, Jenny Finch. We also have making his debut on Fly Me to the Moon, the wonderful soul who is York Atkinson.
Oh, that's very kind, thank you.
Mm. And York, just for the benefit of the completists here, used to work in York, and of course are called York.
Yes.
Minster men.
His parents were Mr. and Mrs. City, but it's a different line. Holy kidding. Joining us for the first time again, we'll just swing the microphone around so we can have a quick hello from Middlesbrough College. It's the wonderful Alicia Suleiman. How are you, Alicia?
I am good, how are you?
Are you a Middlesbrough fan?
Yeah, good.
and unlike York, who basically has just said he goes back to the days of Mark Viduka, when you were basically in nursery school, presumably, all that sort of thing, are you a follower of the current Jonathan Woodgate era?
I don't know.
We'll find out at the end of the programme. Anyway, Rob, back to yourself. Now we've actually identified Carol Maley. I'm sure it's Angela Merkel. The first thing I saw, it's a young Angela Merkel. You know, with that de-aging technology and things that Samuel Jackson used.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I think so.
Ridiculous excuse.
Don't start, Rob, because I've got a quote, something we normally do. The Luton game because we were in different studios when we put together the first podcast.
I was in my garden.
Exactly. You were in the garden, I was in Lincoln, so it goes. But this, which has become the traditional line, Robert Nichols, Fly Me to the Moon, Fans View. Taken from,
are we talking World Soccer? Yes.
Yeah. Biggest hero, I see Darren Randolph was championship keeper of the season. Without his heroics, we might have been many, many points worse off and nowhere near vying for a playoff finish.
Hence why you were saying at the start of the show about the importance of having kept Darren Randolph as our keeper.
Exactly. Most underrated player, interesting one here, George Friend. As you say yourself, Rob, this might seem surprising about longest-serving player and skipper, but the sheer volume of work he continues to get through at both ends of the pitch is probably underappreciated by many.
I think so, yeah. I think people take him for granted and don't realise that he's often our key attacker as well as a key defender, sometimes in the same sort of move. But it'd be very interesting. He's fit again, actually, to play against Brentford, but surely Hayden Coulson, having played so well and right the way through the pre-season and then in that first game, surely Hayden will keep his place. It's interesting to wonder where George Friend is the captain. Will he play more games as centre-back, perhaps, than left-back?
And something which clearly echoes your time as the lead singer with Shrug, a band whose album, his second album, been released now.
It was released.
That's all right. Well, you know, we'll give it another boost, etc. That's great. The best song last season was indeed Obi Mikel, All About John Obi Mikel. What was the tune? What were the lyrics? I mean, the lyrics are obviously We've Got Mikel, John Obi Mikel.
We've Got Mikel. That's
it.
John Obi Mikel.
Genius. Yeah. For a moment, I thought you were.
We haven't got him anymore, though.
No. we used to have.
He's gone to Turkey.
We had.
We had Mikel.
But we got Lewis Wigg now. And what's that talking
about? Oh, yes.
One of those goals every match, presumably, is what we're looking for.
Fantastic goal. It wasn't just the finish. I mean, the finish was fantastic. But if you watch it back, the clip, it starts at Darren Randolph, I think. It starts at our end of the pitch, and then there's an incredible passing move. Until it gets to Wing's scintillating finish.
Exactly. Yeah. You must have thought at that stage it was all going to be good. I mean, Luton obviously took the lead. No, Middlesbrough took the lead. Yeah, but Murray took the lead.
Yeah, Middlesbrough took the lead. Fletcher from a header, and then Luton came back with that again, like a kind of shot that could have gone anywhere really, but it went into the top corner, and then they turned it round to from a corner 2-1. It was that kind of game, wasn't it? It was not the sort of game that you might have expected normally certainly not for a Tony Pulis Spurs team, whatever you say about,
As you say in the editorial of Fly Me to the Moon, the paper edition, welcome back to a brand new era, a new head coach, a new coaching team, and as we said in York and Alicia, two new co-hosts.
Yes.
Fly Me to the Moon.
Yes.
Awesome. Jenny, you've had a little chance to peruse through some of the bits and pieces. I suspect you might be particularly interested in the Leo number, Leo Perker, which, of course, with all the always together. The Curse of the Borough Calendar by Neil McCarthy, I thought was quite interesting. And, of course, the classic, This Season is Going to Be Brillo by Jude, age 9.
Yes.
Any thoughts so far? I mean, in Saltburn, is there a sense of excitement here? Is it a case of, yes, now that the cap has actually gone, now Tony Pulis has actually stepped to one side.
The cap.
Well, it was. I mean, yes. Presumably Jonathan Woodgate is fully booted and suited. He doesn't actually...
He sits at conference.
Sits down,
He does seem to have white trainers, though. He does. Yes.
But if he's behind a desk, you probably wouldn't know. Really.
No.
So, a bit like a newsreader, a bit like Angela Merkel. Anyway. Exactly. Jenny, your thoughts for the season?
Hopeful. Mm. But... actually, of all the articles in here, it was Borough's finishing issues that I was most captivated by. And I thought, this is the problem. What is it? 7.1% of chances taken at goal last year were actually scored. You might get promoted on that, but you're not staying up. And that was the reason that Borough came straight back down again when they got to the Premier League. They didn't score goals. Now, 3-3 against Luton. That's actually very good. They really went for it. If they can keep that up through the season, they have a fighting chance if they can plug the defence a bit. But they have to be more attacking. They have to move forward more. They have to take risks. Is Woodgate the type of manager who's going to get them to take risks?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
In that case, I'm looking forward to this almost as much as I'm dreading the rugby.
If you look in that article, which is it's his first ever article for the fanzine, Isaac, he's a university student at Loughborough. If you look at that, he actually breaks it down by saying how many chances we actually created, but the percentage that we actually put away was minuscule.
Tiny. I got my 7.1.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting because it's probably different to what everyone imagines. What you're saying under Tony Pulis, we did actually get the ball in the box again and again. We did actually shoot for goal, but we just hit the post or we missed the target.
Hit the goalkeeper.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a tiny percentage, as you said. We scored 3 in the first game. Let's hope we can continue to score at that rate. And we should remember that, I was just saying, George Friend is fit now. Dale Fry will be fit soon. We didn't have our first choice defence, so that will make a difference, surely.
Good,
huge impact. Brentford lost already, so yes. Brentford and they've lost one of their key players as well. So he's moved on from that point of view.
Yes,
so.
that's the way Brentford do their business, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They bring players.
They've got a new stadium
and
that's happening, but
next season, that's
I'm
right.
sure we'll be fine. We'll talk more about that, plus a few other key things. What indeed Jonathan Woodgate was like at the press conference, which Rob obviously has been attending. His interview with Leo Perkovits, which is always wonderful from that point of view. And we might even be able to have a quick look at where in the Premiership table of tables Middlesbrough actually currently sit? Yes, I'll say that again. The Premiership table of tables.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song. Or the fragrance for men.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialize in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium,
125 grams of calcium.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
the recipe? That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, then you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Amazing. So much good stuff in the first official paper version of Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine for issue 597 versus Brentford. It's difficult to know what to start with, but...
Good.
Yeah, it just says the quality has been maintained.
Well, I had that difficulty this week, Alex, what to put in and what not to put in.
Well, you know, it's a good thing to actually have, really. Mm. It shows competition.
It's like a manager, isn't it, when that competition for places...
Challenge the whole thing through that. We've got the usual old favourites with Stanistan, of course, his post-Afghan tales. Johnny Woodgate is red again, and probably one of the worst kept secrets in borough history, but good news from that point of view. Paddy Dillon writes a very interesting and quite heartfelt line with respect to borough pride, which is worthwhile mentioning, perhaps.
I think so, yes. Paddy's written for the fanzine for many years. He does the covers now, and of course...
That's the one with Angela Merkel on.
Well, if you look at that cover, Carol Maley is talking about the weather, isn't she? And their goals, and it could well be pouring down. It could well be unseasonal. He usually writes lots of comedy stuff. He's a very funny guy, and he wanted to make a point in this issue about the there was the championship footballer who was going to come out, and it was on Twitter, wasn't it, on social media across the summer, and then finally at that point when he was going to come out as gay, it was just deleted. It was wiped, and it could have been. It might not have been a bona fide thing, but he's making the point of why it was important, why it's important that, and why footballers can't come out, and but also why it would make the world a difference to a lot of people, such as himself, because Paddy comes out in this article, very brave of him to do it.
It's certainly worthwhile noting that we need to have a society, whatever your particular creed, belief, whatever, etc., that actually has tolerance and celebrates, I use the D word, diversity. It does help,
yes.
Despite some of the sort of political situations and shenanigans that we actually have. So open it up a little bit for discussion. I mean, York, any thoughts on that? I mean, it's not a political point, and in fact, really, it should almost be a non-story, but any thoughts from your own point of view?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, sport is one of the sort of few things that we have that can break down all sorts of barriers. It doesn't matter who you are, you know, it sort of unites people, and it should unite everyone based on the game rather than who they are as a person. So if you love football, it doesn't matter who you sat next to, you both love football, exactly. And that's what it should be about. Thing.
And let's come to Alicia. Alicia, I mean, we talked about obviously liking Borough, following the Borough, etc. Do you play football yourself?
No, I don't. Oh. I don't play any sport.
I had you pegged as more of a Karen Carney person, actually, as well, down the wing, but no, maybe it's not. But any thoughts in terms of, again, the sort of celebration of diversity aspect?
I completely agree with York. Like, it's important. It can break down lots of barriers between, like, race and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it can bring a lot of people together, so it's important for whoever to, like, come out and do...
Yeah,
excellent. Yeah, yeah. And the reason I wanted to particularly focus on York and Alicia there was because they realised that the all-time Premier League table we're going to talk about, obviously from 1992, because before 1992 football didn't exist, did it, Jenny? Basically, just
absolutely not.
No, I mean it was
just a kick around in the park.
Yeah. Rob, exactly. So this is actual table. Where do you think Middlesbrough are, Rob, in this all-time Premier League table? Because obviously they're in it. Where would you pitch their position? Bearing in mind that Manchester City are seventh, Manchester United, unbelievable, are first. First, with 2,168 points. Where would you pitch Middlesbrough? Bottom of the table, they're not. Swindon Town, Barnsley and Blackpool actually have the bottom positions. What about?
I'm trying to think how many seasons we've actually been in the Premier League.
15.
Really?
15.
Yeah, so I'm going to say about 10th.
14th.
14th.
Just ahead of Sunderland in 15th place. I know. And just behind Leeds United in 13th place.
That's close.
Yeah.
Yes, because Sunderland have been in the Premier League a lot of seasons.
16, just one more than Borough.
But I was going to say, just one more. They always were fighting relegation.
Exactly.
Apart from the Peter Reid.
Completers, Middlesbrough actually have currently, until of course next season when they're back in the Premier League again, 661 points.
Okay. Something to build on.
I think so.
Better than 666 points.
And better than Blackpool, who have 39. But there we are.
One season.
Exactly. Likewise, Barnsley on 35 and Swindon Town on 30. So there we have it. Newcastle fans, well, Andy Carroll's one, apparently. They actually come in at 8th, just below Manchester City.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I was equally shocked. But there we are. So was Ian Lennox, and you heard him at the start of the whole piece.
That's right.
Okay, shall we do the John Hickton excerpt? Because it's such an epic poem. It's more like a saga taken from the wonderful world of Homer's Iliad. But we're just taking the last verse from Jimmy Flynn. Not little Jimmy Flynn, surely.
No, he's not. He's a goalkeeper. Yeah, how do we do this, Alex?
I think we'll just basically do our usual Nichols Lefchuk thing. I mean, we won't put the stress on any of the others. York, do you feel? How's your sight reading, York? I mean, it's a production meeting live on air. Would you like to? No, maybe not. It's too
exciting live.
Let's.
Well, I mean, I was on the West End for a short spell, but I wouldn't really. No,
Oh, he's raised the bar, in which case...
He did raise the bar.
Yeah, I think microphone goes over to York. I'll give you your etc. We're starting off with an irrepressible force impossible to hold back. I'll take that line, and then you can take the rest of it. So are you ready? Deep breath.
Not me.
No, she...
No.
I think Jenny's nodding, you know. Alicia's as a witness saying, yeah, you actually sort of said I was on the West End, sorted through from here. So we're ready to actually take The Fly Me to the Moon is serious business. Okay. You should know that. You're focused on this side of things in every way. Okay. So, Anna, 1, 2, 3. An irrepressible force impossible to hold back.
With every game played, his statue grew.
To Borough's cause, dedicated, loyal and true.
He and John O'Rourke memorably making Oxford blue.
Experiencing a level of fans' affection afforded to a favoured few.
His penalty kick run-ups seemingly interminably
long. The abiding memory of legendary King John. Yeah, we made it. I love the way he kind of put some performance artistry into actually making that interminably seem so long. It's very, very long. Well done, York.
Well done.
Threw you in the deep end there. Yeah. But, you know.
Those West End days were
never again.
2 years ago.
West
End of Newcastle.
Exactly.
Was it?
Yes. Next time, another world entirely. Okay, moving on. We were going to talk about. Pick the article, Rob. Which one would you like us to focus on? Because, again, there's so many good. We've mentioned
Leo. Leo.
Yeah, exactly. Back with us again and in full force, and you've done a fine interview with him, so talk to us about this familiar face back in the coaching team.
Well, he's an inspirational character, really, after all that he's been through. I think most of our listeners will know about the terrible tragedy that when he went away to Brazil and he lost two of his children in a car crash. But he's such a passionate guy anyway, and of course, because there was a sort of bond already between the Middlesbrough fans and him, but at that time, all the Middlesbrough supporters they put they flashed their lights on the phone one night for him, and he was shown the video in Brazil, and it really helped him a lot, and he came back to thank the Borough fans. But now he's back as part of the management team, and we should say. And he makes the point, he's a very experienced coach as well, so he brings all that experience to the party as well as his passion, his desire, but he speaks so well, it's phenomenal. You can imagine him and Robbie Keane in the dressing room firing up the players before they go out, and if you look at this interview, he says some fantastic things about having the best fans in the league, no question, and he talks about Middlesbrough, he says, You can't change where you're born, but this for him is his home now, and he feels like he's been welcomed back. And yes, he feels like I feel like I'm a son of the town.
Yeah, and it's interesting his response to your line when you questioned him about the meet the coaches evening, and Robbie Keane was saying about how everything that's done in coaching relates exactly to what might happen on the pitch. His response to Woodgate's philosophy or methodology is not opening a book and copy the exercise and do it. It's very much a case of working through the process.
Yes, and on that night, Robbie Keane said that actually he said it never happened to him the whole time he was a player. He never rehearsed like shooting routines with a mind to drilling what's going to actually happen on the pitch, so that you go out and you try and replicate that. It's almost like sort of some sort of muscle sort of memory thing, isn't it? But it never happened to him while he was a player. So it's amazing, really, to think that that doesn't happen. So yeah, very interesting sort of insight.
The Brentford game, of course, Saturday, August the 10th. So tomorrow, if you're listening to this live, if you're listening to this podcast, and you're listening on Saturday, go along, go and see them. And then, of course, away to Blackburn. We've got a League Cup game in the...
Crewe Alexandra at home. We're always at home, aren't we? In the cups, it seems.
We used to say that a few years ago, Rob. I seem to recall you saying it seemed to be away, 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 and away again from that point of view.
We had 13 League Cup games in a row away, didn't we? And in the end, the sponsors gave us a free trip to Swansea away.
Which could be a mixed blessing, I suppose.
not back, just
Chris,
there.
Chris Bartley writes, from despair to where... I mean, we're in that uncertain mode. I think actually maybe 3-3 with Luton was certainly a very competent result, far better than a defeat and a loss. And I think the response that Woodgate gave to Sambalonga's missed penalty is perfectly acceptable and feasible, that he scores the next. If he doesn't score that, he'll score the one after that. So working through there. And of course, we are paving the way, of course, before we resume friendships / hostilities with Tony Mowbray and
Stuart Downing.
And Stuart Downing. Exactly. That's on August the 17th.
Absolutely.
You've had a chance to actually have a little perusal through the magazine. York, any particular article that you come across which you think, this is worth shelling out 150 pence for,
It's all fantastic, to be honest.
Well, there we are. It's a good response. And Alicia?
Curse of the Borough.
Okay, so
the calendar, yes,
well spotted.
Indeed, well done, absolutely.
Yeah. Neil McCarthy, talk to us about this, Rob, about how this gentleman has had his borough calendar provided for him by his mother each year, and yet the traditional scenario of calendars and so on has caused challenges.
Well, you're a man who likes his calendars, Alex. Yes.
Exactly. Spock's brain in the corner, one of the classic Star Trek episodes. Brain, what is this thing called brain?
Well, that doesn't occur in the borough calendar, but what does occur is that there are two players on each for each month, and that basically it appears to be unlucky for them each month.
Yeah, that manager of the month award, really.
Yeah, this is actually a long-standing thing, because I remember that this from many years ago in the times when Emerson and Juninho and when you were saying Mark Viduka, there would quite often be the case of that. Obviously, the second half of the season, a lot of the players have gone in the summer, haven't they? So you have to stare at this face, and it could be like Martin. You say Martin Braithwaite was in dispute with a club, and he's there for a month.
We don't talk about Martin Braithwaite. He's moved on. He's done his own sort of thing, and quite rightly so. Jenny, is this from the department of those Borough fans? They're clutching at straws if they're actually concerning about curses of the calendars, or is it just a case of yes? just look at what's happening in cricket.
Well, precisely. It could indeed be serendipitous. Mm. I'm going to be very, very careful what I put on my calendars next year if this is the case.
You do feature in the Southside calendar, of course.
Yeah. I do indeed, and I make my own calendars as well.
Exactly.
You've not been transferred during the month that you've been in the calendar, have you?
I wasn't going to tell you about that until afterwards. I didn't want to validate this story any further.
How can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine?
Oh, yes. Yes, please do. Please buy it at the match. And yes, please subscribe. If you go onto the website and click on subscribe, that's the
fairly
easiest way,
isn't it?
Yeah. Or you can even write.
We can have a YouTube tutorial explaining how you should subscribe.
Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilt Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP. Or get in touch in any of the usual channels. Particularly if anybody's listening from abroad, I have very few. I do like an email subscription and get very few sort of takers. But I think hopefully everybody here thinks this is an entertaining and worthwhile.
Maybe off to China exercise. In the new year. So another one of our souls who actually goes to China. Jack Cochran, China. You know, York's friend goes to China, etc.
Yes.
Obviously, they're going to have far more basic democracy there than we're ever going to have in Britain in the next few years. But what the heck? That's just no political points on Rise of the Moon.
No.
Step aside from
you
that.
You started it.
Cheers, Angela Merkel. Get a hold of a copy of the magazine and you will see. Oh, it's Angela Merkel.
You need to watch it up north more often.
Fantasizing, Alan.
That's it. Apart from, of course, those seven words, which neither York nor Alicia will be familiar with
because they've
made their debut in the whole thing. This is where we actually have a good positive wrap up for the whole sequence. Yes, yeah. Seven words, Jenny, just in case you're still thinking, it's seven words there. It'll take us out of the first official Flying to the Moon podcast companion for the season before we're back again, before you know where you are. And after three, a one, two, three.
Come on, Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.